This podcast series is brought to you with the kind support of Romco Metals, producers of truly green aluminium, copper, and other non-ferrous metals from the African continent, dedicated to decarbonizing supply chains across the globe by recycling our way to a sustainable future. Romco, invest, reduce, and grow. As well as Mbuyu Capital Partners, an investment company focusing exclusively on Africa, managing portfolios of funds and direct investments for institutional clients and impact investors.
Our next guest left Nigeria at the age of 10, then returned after college to ultimately found an investment firm. Find out how he relies on the guiding principles of the three H's, honesty, humility, hard work, plus the P of patience to shape his success.
Ethan Devitt, and welcome to the 50 Faces Focus podcast, a podcast committed to revealing the richness and diversity of Nigerian voices at home and abroad. I'm joined today by Eric Idiahi, who is co-founder and a partner of Verid Capital, based in Lagos, which he founded in 2008. He is chairman of the board of Tangerine Africa and holds a number of non-executive director positions. He was previously a managing partner of Fountainhead Media Group, as well as a financial derivatives company. Welcome, Eric. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start by talking about your background. Where did you grow up? What did you study? And how did you come ultimately to enter the world of investing?
Okay, I was born in Nigeria in a place called Warri, the Niger Delta. I left Nigeria at about 10, 11 years old and went to school in the States, in the US, in the southern United States. I went to middle school, high school, and at university, at the University of Houston. And right after college, I had an option to continue to stay there and I get a job. I had done an internship before at Chevron Texaco and had some offers coming out of college to continue working there. But I really had a passion for Africa and Nigeria particularly. So one morning I woke up right after college and said, hey, I'm going to pack my bags and go back to Nigeria and not do anything else or accept any of the job offers I had. So that morning, within 1 week of deciding I was going to move back to Nigeria, I convinced my parents I was going to do that. They were slightly against that at that time, but I was able to convince them. I got rid of my car, my apartment, and got on a plane and moved to Nigeria. How I got into investing. Growing up, I guess, or going to school in the US, I studied a lot about Warren Buffett. I read a lot of books in high school and in college about investing and Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway. And that was really my inspiration for doing what I'm doing today. Moving back to Nigeria, I got a job working at investment banking and a financial advisory with financial derivatives. I did that for about 2 years and set up also an advisory firm for a year where I met my partner, actually, where I'm working at financial derivatives, Dan Ladi Verheyen. When I met him, we were working on a transaction together with our respective firms, and we started talking about setting up a business to invest in companies in Nigeria and help create value in those businesses. Because from an advisory perspective, I saw businesses where they could do a few tweaks and, of course, increase revenues and make a lot more money or increase profitabilities by doing some things differently. So from that advisory perspective, I started getting a lot interested in private equity and investing in businesses as opposed to advising businesses to raise money. I wanted to be on the other side. So after 2 years of that, I set up an advisory firm just to earn some money while I set up what is now today Verid Capital. So Verid Capital was formed in 2008. It was an interesting time for us to start a business then. We started a business right in February, March 2008. A few months after that, in August, the entire universe crashed with, of course, the economic crash of 2008. But I think that was the best time for us to actually start a business because we started when things were down, and which helped us a lot in the long run as we grew the business.
So you moved back to Nigeria, not having left there permanently, I suppose, at the age of 10. Did you experience any culture shocks or integration issues, or did something surprise you that were not as they seemed?
So I always kept touch. I always kept in touch with Nigeria and came back. I actually, for 12, 13 years, I only came to Nigeria twice for a week or two. But I read the news every day, what was going on there. I kept in touch with people in the Nigerian community in the US. So I had a strong connection with Nigeria, even while living in the US. And so when I moved back, yes, I moved back to Lagos and I literally knew nobody. Had zero friends or didn't know how to get around, didn't know my way around. So I built everything from scratch, getting to meet people, getting to build relationships. But I think I started off at a good job, in a sense, a job where it exposed me to a lot of people in the financial industry and in different sectors too. So that's what really got me integrated in Nigeria. Yes, there were some cultures, there were some shocks in terms of things that I was used to in the States when here. But that was the opportunity I saw that we can actually create a lot of those things here in Nigeria. So I was excited about it. It was like, for me, moving from Texas back to Nigeria, I felt, okay, I was in Texas in the early 30s or 40s or the Wild Wild West during the Gold Rush. That's how I felt Nigeria was when I moved back in 2005. So it was quite an exciting time though for me, and I don't regret it one bit.
I'd love to talk a little bit about what opportunity you perceived there. Where did you see the gap, I suppose, in the market was for you to set up Verid, and what was your vision?
So back then in 2005, when I moved back to 2008, when Verid was set up, Nigeria to me was virgin. There's a lot of things we didn't have. I think the first movie chain of cinema started coming up in 2004. There were a lot of companies or products that were still being imported into the country. So the vision is really create a company that had a pool of, we can raise money, invest in things, created new businesses or invest or helped enhance current businesses to world standards. So spent a lot of time doing that. So Verod, we're known for being the first in a few things. We invested and set up the first canning manufacturing plants in Nigeria, which canned beverage cans. We've done a lot of interesting things across the last 13 years or so. That was really the vision, to really be a catalyst for developments in Nigeria and across Africa.
And in terms of some of the dynamics of setting up a firm, some of the technical aspects, I suppose, like raising capital, and ultimately when you've raised the capital, some of the governance aspects of investing in these underlying companies you mentioned, were there any challenges there, perhaps, that would not have existed had you set up that same firm, say, in London?
Of course, there were a lot of challenges that existed in seeding the business and trying to set up a business from scratch. Of course, we needed to put money into the business just to get started before we went out to raise external capital. I recall going to meet a lot of people to raise money initially and starting the business. And some of their concerns were things that I guess you wouldn't face in markets like in London or in America. It was things like, hey, you're not married. So culturally, that was a big thing. You're not married, so we don't trust that you would be a safe store of our money or you're responsible enough to invest money for us. So that was one of the big things. It was also the concept of actually investing locally or giving us cash locally to invest for a long time. They felt, local guys felt they could do it themselves. So actually in seeding the business, I actually took a loan from a close friend. My partner brought in capital. He had more experience and more work than I did. And I worked a lot longer than I did. So we set up the business. But over time, we've ended up raising a lot of our capital outside Nigeria, in the US and the UK to invest in Nigeria. But now I think as we've built a reputation, there's more interest to get capital locally. But we historically has come from outside the country.
That's really interesting. That wasn't the answer I was expecting you to give me, but that's fascinating. What do you think in general is the state of affairs when it comes to external investors investing in Africa? Do you think that there is sufficient knowledge, level of education, and that the opportunity is correctly perceived? Or do you think there are some barriers still to external investors?
So I think everybody has seen, traditionally, we've seen external investors have seen Africa as the last frontier. In the last 5-6 years, I've probably gone on about 50-60 roadshows. I've probably seen 250 or more investors in the last 5-6 years outside Nigeria, in the US and the UK, and in Asia also. So traditionally, there's been, yes, Africa is the last frontier and there are a lot of opportunities in Africa, population-wise, etc. But some of the big barriers right now and challenges is the currency is a big thing. Of course, currency has been devalued regularly. So that's a major concern for investors. Regulation also, policy regulation has been a challenge. So it's been a tough operating environment as some foreign investors see it. But for me, I see opportunity in all of this. I see opportunity to still create value based on the population. There are fundamental things we need in a country like this. Looking at Nigeria, which I know very well, 200 million people, they need to eat, they need to drink water, they need to sleep. They need to get in the car and go from point A to point B. So there's still a lot of fundamental things that people need that we need to create, invest in, and grow. So despite the barriers that exist, I still see a lot of opportunity for anybody willing to invest. But one of the critical things I tell everybody is that it's very tough for me to sit some guy sitting in London or the US throwing money in Nigeria without actually having a partnership or somebody locally that understands the markets, nuances of the markets, to help navigate through that. I think that's essential for anybody looking to invest in a place like this.
And what are you most excited about today in terms of sectors or opportunities? What's at the forefront of your mind?
So for me, I'm very excited about a number of things.
One, I think technology, it's probably the most exciting thing right now in Nigeria and across Africa, because what tech is doing is helping us leapfrog a lot of things that's traditional infrastructure, or when I say infrastructure, both physical and non-physical infrastructure typically do. So with tech, you have young people in their 20s, early 30s, coming up with different ideas to challenge traditional ways of doing things and make it easier to do things and break down barriers in the way things are done. So for me, that's the most exciting thing going on in Nigeria and in Africa today. That's the tech-enabled businesses or the pure tech businesses. A lot of that is being driven in the financial services space, which also makes probably one of the exciting things for me too. Financial inclusion, banking, how do you bank the bottom of the pyramid? That's quite exciting. What kind of services do you provide for them? So that's something that I find very, very unique in the country today. So we keep looking at how to leverage on all of that and investing in Nigeria. Then also agriculture, anything with food. As the country grows, people need to eat. So I'm very excited about that space and things to do that process or help with food. Lastly for me is just healthcare space in the country. As we develop as a country, as a continent, that's become critical. I guess for developing in any country, there are three things you need, or three things I believe you need. Of course, good health, education, those are critical things, and technology is one of the ones for me that would help us leapfrog in Nigeria and across Africa.
And many of those sectors you talked about get to the heart of some of the ESG thinking that's going on today. Financial inclusion, the impact that that can create, as well as the aspects of agriculture that need to be sustainable in order to make sense. How much of an ESG lens do you apply now and when investing in Africa? And are you finding that investors are getting more aware of this and asking more about it?
So for us, ESG is a very important thing, just because for us at Verod, a lot of our investors are very, very focused on ESG. So we have a few DFIs as our investors. But naturally, we strongly believe in the concept of shared value at Verod, which ties into some of the things we do with ESG. And the shared value is really that society, businesses, acting as businesses, can solve society's problems, both in every shape or way possible. So we incorporate that thinking and ethos into everything we do. And from even from how we approach businesses or how we fund businesses, how we help grow businesses from the ESG perspective. For example, I'll give you one where we have a business called Tangerine, an insurance business. We're probably one of the leading companies now in terms of collecting single-use plastics. We set up a program across Lagos State to collect single-use plastics and recycle those plastics as part of the ESG program. But we do things also like making sure we give specific rights to female workers, equal pay, something that we try to instill in all our businesses. Not just with that, but how people approach different aspects of work and making sure that waste is disposed correctly, different materials used. So it's something we pay very strong attention to as a business.
And just in terms of the nature of private equity investing in Africa and how it maybe differs from, say, elsewhere, such as the US. In the US, the SPAC explosion has certainly facilitated exits in non-traditional ways. What's the exit picture like for some of your investments? Is there a public market, an IPO market that is as accessible as it might be elsewhere? Or do you tend to look at strategic buyers? How do you think about exit?
In an ideal world, I would say public markets, but it's not. The markets have not been as robust. It's something that we're praying and hoping that could change sooner than later. But in an environment like this, strategics come first. So we really target a lot of strategics in terms of exits. There are a lot of course, big family offices that look at deals, and a lot of bigger financial buyers or financial investors. So we tend to look for companies in the mid-cap space. And as they grow, the companies that want to write larger checks, or financial businesses, investors that want to write larger checks, look at them for exits. So that's our exit path in that sense, versus the traditional going to capital markets. But we're looking at a few of that now. There's some room for that. But really, traditionally, it's been more strategics looking to buy into businesses here.
And just going back to your personal story now, were there any key people who influenced you along your path and how?
Yes. There are a few people that really had a big impact where I am today. One of them is my father. My father worked for 38 years at Chevron Texaco in Nigeria and outside Nigeria. But one of the things I learned from him is how to navigate just doing business in Nigeria, and that understanding, just watching him, how he interacted with people, how he solved problems and issues. I think this was one of the biggest lessons I learned in doing business in Nigeria. So I owe a lot of that to him. Then my first boss at Financial Derivatives, again in Bismarck, Rwanda, he really opened my eyes, did a lot of intros for me. I met a lot of people through him, a lot of, I'll say, key decision makers through him. So that was also a very big influence in my life. And I just understanding how the markets works. There's two people I'll give a lot of credit to in helping me get to where I am today.
And would you say that in Nigeria, social capital, that kind of network being plugged in is extremely important?
It's very, very important. Oh, let me rephrase that. It was very, very important. But I think now that's changing with tech. So now I see 20-something-year-old kids and 30-year-old people in the early 30s without any of the social networks or any of the contacts coming up with very good ideas. But these ideas are being invested in by people outside. So a lot of foreign VCs, US VCs and VCs in Europe and in Asia are looking at this market. And they don't really care what your networks and what your connections are, but really investing in these businesses. And these businesses are now using the internet technology to get to customers and consumers directly, or B2B, or accessing other business directly. So that need for that social capital is not as prevalent as it once was. I think that's going to change over time.
A fascinating reminder of tech's ability to disrupt, actually. I hadn't even thought of that aspect. And probably also, if the social capital is not as much of a barrier any longer, that might not be as much of a barrier to young people returning to Nigeria to, you know, execute their vision if they don't feel they have to spend years getting plugged in.
Oh, of course. I mean, traditionally, to access capital, you needed that, but now you can do that without that.
Were there any key pieces of advice or words of wisdom that you've picked up over your career that you can share here?
So I have a friend who always told me about being successful in Nigeria, which three H's, he calls it: honesty, humility, and hard work. I think for me, that's a motto I try to live by in doing business in Nigeria. But I'll add a third one, which is not an H, but humility is the key one in a place like this. I mean, of course, being successful, I think you should be honest. And it takes a lot of hard work. It's not easy. But humility in this market is key, because in an emerging market like this, the more you stick your head up, the more you have targets after on your back, right? So it's always good to be humble in doing business in these markets. I think that gets people a long, long, long way. But patience, I think, is one of the key things I've learned in this market and advice I've gotten, that sometimes things don't happen overnight. You just have to be persistent and patient in getting things done.
That's a very interesting, I think, it's a set of guiding principles probably for investing anywhere. But I would also imagine on the patient side, there is going to be considerable uncertainty. And maybe that patience enables you to live with that uncertainty. For example, I know COVID probably introduced another layer of complexity and uncertainty. So certainly thinking the ability to see through that. Now looking back to your younger self, maybe to that young graduate from Houston who executed his own vision to return to Nigeria, is there any advice that you would give that young man now looking back?
Looking back as a young man, I think, slightly more patience, which is something we talked about. I think there are a lot of things I started, but probably should have seen through. And also just being long-term greedy. I think that's critical, right? In coming to these markets where in the short term, you might not get a lot of the gains you see, but being long-term greedy to forego some of the joys or pleasures of life initially, which is also a theme globally, right? So I think that's one critical thing in this market that you need to do. But also don't waste time. I think if anybody looking to come back, I'm a bit of a contrarian. I mean, the markets are tight right now. Things are not too great with the economy. But as a contrarian, I believe in the long term, things will turn around for the better. So it's just being bold and making that move. Nothing is impossible.
Echoes of Warren Buffett there in the long term good greedy mantra. Well, thank you so much, Eric. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I'm going to take away your three H's plus the P of patience. So honesty, yes. Humility, hard work, plus the patience, as I think guiding principles for life outside Nigeria too. So thank you for coming here, for sharing your vision, and for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
I'm Aoife Ndebit. Thank you for listening to the 50 Faces Focus podcast. If you liked what you heard and would like to tune in to hear more inspiring investors and their personal journeys, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice, and all views are personal and should not be attributed to the organizations and affiliations of the host or any guest.